The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio. Keep your mission on your mind, and your mind on your mission. This is Mission Minded with Michael Coleman.
Time once again to put your mission in your mind, your mission. It is Michael Coleman from the Montgomery Area Food Bank. Does wonderful work down there covering 35 counties in the great state of Alabama. Previously, of course, of the Jimmy Hill Mission. He's also started a couple of non-for-profits for himself, and he's a businessman. We talk about business stuff here and non-for-profits and other things. Michael, how are you, brother? 2023, if you're listening to the show, maybe it's already started, so happy New Year to you. If it has not, it's right around the corner. How you been, brother? Everything good?
Yeah, as I was telling you right before we came on, not a fan of the cold weather. I'm having flashback to my military days of being in Europe.
Oh man!
Waking up in the outside on maneuvers in 5 degree weather. That scarred me for life, so that's why I try to stay south.
There you go. Well, now you're in a different service industry. You're doing Mission Minded here on Tony Curry Radio. You can hear it wherever you get your podcast. We're on every major industry. Wherever you listen to your podcast, you will find Mission Minded with Michael Coleman, or you can search Tony Curry Radio. That's Curry with a K. Also, info@tonycurryradio.net. We've done several shows where we just do emails. We'll maybe do that again next week. info@tonycurryradio.net. So if you hear something you want to continue to talk about or throw some questions out to Michael or myself about something unbusiness related, because he's the man, feel free to do that. You came up, everyone's got New Year's resolutions, and I get that. And of course, resolutions don't normally work. It's a lifestyle change. And hopefully some leaders, some bosses can make those changes in their workforce. You found a wonderful story about the top 10 New Year's resolutions that business leaders or bosses or whoever, just a leader in general, can make in their workforce to make it an even better place to work. And you got 1 through 10. I know you don't want to stop on every single one of these, so I'm going to start with number one. And then if you have something interesting to say about it, hop on board. You got me?
Sure.
Number one is prioritize self-care and the well-being of you and your workforce. And I'll bet you want to stop right there.
Well, I do. I will tell you, it's just been my experience that number one, that leaders tend to not be focused on what they need. And lots of times we don't focus on what our family needs. And so we end up thinking, to get ahead, I've got to put in all the hours. And I get that. I've been in different phases of my life. And there's times where I worked when I wish I could have been home with my family. And I just get that's part of life. So I don't want to put forth any unrealistic expectations. But I do think leaders, it's a delicate balance where you're thinking, okay, what is best for me? When do I walk out the door knowing that, hey, it's all going to be here tomorrow? And, you know, I'm never going to get it all done, but I've got to make sure I'm getting enough rest. I've got to make sure I'm spending time with my family, making sure that I'm separating myself from my work and my work does not become my complete identity. And that's a struggle for so many of us. Is that we are defined by our work and by our job titles and what we get accomplished at work. So that can be a very difficult thing to pry yourself away from. But the thing that I've seen even more challenging is to run a business because you're trying to put customers at the forefront. And that is right. You know, no matter if it's nonprofit, the people you're serving, no matter if it's a business, the people that you're selling to, they're ultimately who you have to please. But I have found that if you take care of employees, in other words, you honor employees and you help them with self-care and well-being. In other words, don't work them into the ground. Make sure that you get to know them and know the things that are going on in their life, and then you make accommodations from them, it pays off in the long run. It pays off in loyalty. It pays off in just better perspectives. It pays off in better attitude. It pays off in productivity. So let me just throw out an example.
Yeah.
I've experienced this many times, is you get to know when, if you know your employees, then you begin to recognize when something is off. And so if I don't know you and you're quiet one day, I might think, oh, just whatever. But I know when employees are just something's not normal. And everybody's going to have 1 or 2 days. But there becomes times where I have to pull an employee in and I say, hey, you know, you just don't seem yourself. Would you share with me what's going on? I may be able to help. And sometimes that help is just listening and just saying it's okay to be going through, whether it's a loss of family member, whether it's, you know, you could be having marital struggles, you could be having financial struggles, you could just be having, you know, personal conflicts, whatever it is. But if you take that time and you may say, well, I don't have 30 minutes or an hour to sit down with my employees to go through that. But what you gain in the long run by caring for your employees will more than pay back that hour you missed talking with them. And that trust and that loyalty that you build is just immeasurable to me. And so taking on their pain and their struggles and letting them know that you care and letting them know that you're willing to accommodate them to the best of your ability. Boy, I just really recommend that because your whole organization, the culture will become a better place to be.
And I think a lot of people are listening to what you just said and they're like, you know, I've got my own problems. I'm not a counselor. I'm not a therapist. I can't take on an entire workforce and their issues. That's what a leader does. We're not, if you're listening to that right there and you're like, well, that's not me, then you probably don't need to be a boss. You probably don't need to be a leader because that's what great leaders do. And that kind of rolls us into number two, top 10 leaders resolutions for 2023 is be present and prioritize people. And I'll just say this real quick, because I've been through 13 different GMs before I started my own business here with Tony Curry Radio. Every one of them sat down with me because I had over 30 years of experience, 30 years in that building with that company. And they all sat down. They wanted to hear my ideas. They really seemed like they genuinely cared. And about 3 months later, I never saw them again. And it was like they totally forgot what I said. The thought process is there to sit down with every employee to find out how they're doing. And then they just totally forgot what I'd even mentioned. So just be careful if you're going to open up that door, you're going to be that person, you have an open door policy, quote unquote, make sure your door stays open. Number three, get clear on your intention and purpose. Lead from love and be in service of. When I saw that, if that was a definition in Webster's, I'd see a picture of Michael Coleman. I know how you work. I know how you treat your employees, but get a little deeper into that one.
Yeah. Lead from love. And it can be true of any of us. I mean, there's great leaders who are in the business community, great leaders who are nonprofit, but in the nonprofit realm specifically, you have to just genuinely and authentically love the people that you're trying to serve, which is whatever area of service you're in, whether it's addiction recovery, whether it's food like I'm in right now, whether it's workforce development, just people who are battling challenges in life and just struggling to overcome them. You have to genuinely care about people. And again, that comes back with the whole organization, instead of being focused in what you want, is it has to be what is in the best interest of your clients and what is in the best interest of your employees. And what I have found is that it can be a delicate dance when you're trying to match those two things. I'll give you an example. We've had to work some weekends, some Saturdays, and that's not preferred by the employees, and I get that. Nobody, you know, wants to work on a Saturday. But what they understood was is that we had some areas that had to be addressed that we couldn't address during the week. Now, we knew that we could have stopped serving people food for a couple of days, but see, that would have hurt our clients, those that we're caring about. And so because we had communicated that to them, because they understood that, hey, the weekend when we don't have people coming and picking up food, agencies and pantries, that is the best time to be able to do that. But if you build in the culture of, if you yourself as a leader show that, hey, I'm going to be right here with you. I'm not asking you to do anything. I'm not willing to do. And I'm communicating that, you know, like it says, be clear on your intention and purpose. Hey, our intention is we have to take care of those who have food insecurity in our communities. And we care about them and we serve them. And that's what it means, is we put their needs ahead of our own. And I have found, while employees are still not going to be happy about working, they don't push back near as hard because they get it. This is what it means to serve others. It means you're the one that's inconvenienced, not your customer.
There you go. Top 10 resolutions with Michael Coleman for leaders in 2023. This is Mission Minded. Info at TonyCurryRadio.net. If you'd like to email the show, we get lots of emails about any, it could be any question about non-for-profits, about business, about employees, about whatever we have. We've had harassment emails. We've also done shows about toxicity in the workplace and just how dangerous it can be. And certainly it's one of the big reasons people quit. Number four, tend to the soft stuff in quotes, the unspoken and intangible and the cost of negative energy in your organization. I know this is not one that you specifically wanted to harp on, but tell me, what is the soft stuff? What is that?
Yeah. So the soft stuff is stuff that you can't, like I said, it's the unspoken, it's the intangible. So everywhere you go, you, the idea is you want the employees to be as productive as possible. And so when I look at employees, this goes back, I think I've said this before, when I, especially my higher leaders in the organization, when I call them in and I tell them, listen, I don't know what your limit is. And I'm not interested in pushing you past your limit, but I also want to squeeze more juice, as the saying goes. So what I tell them is, hey, I'm gonna give you a task, and I say, hey, you knocked that or not a task, but a project or an area of responsibility, and I say, hey, you're handling that with ease. I don't know where you are on your individual tank level, so I'm just gonna keep filling that up and keep giving you stuff until you get to the point that you recognize, hey, I that's all I can handle on my plate, and you come back and tell me that, and then I have some perspective, because what happens is, I have found, especially with mostly with entry level employees, but it can happen all the way across the chain of command, is that when employees do not have enough, when they're not being used, all their productivity is being used and they have spare time, then usually that's a time to go and talk with other employees, interfere with their work. And lots of times then you just, anytime you get two or more people together, you can turn that into an instant gripe session. I've had to dismiss people from here and everywhere I've ever been because they simply were just, they just took negativity wherever they were. Mm-hmm. And so I've had to tell people that I understand if you have challenges or if you're upset about something or you don't agree with something, and we've set up an environment for you to be able to deal with that. You can come talk to me about it. You can ask me why something's going on, or you can question that. But for you to go to your peers and just go around and complain and gripe every time you don't have enough to do, then not only do I have to now overcome your negativity, but that instills and creates negativity within other employees, which otherwise wouldn't be there because they don't feel that way.
And you know, Michael,
you've made them to feel that way.
And that's one of those things that you cannot change overnight. I mean, I know a lot of people with good hearts that are nice people, and they're just glass half empty people. I don't want to consider them negative people, but I mean, they're the same people that will say, well, it looks like it's going to get sunny tomorrow. And they'll go, yeah, but it's rained for the last 4 days. It's like, there are positive people that are always looking forward. There are negative people that just always want to bring. And I think a lot of that may come from the way they were raised. It could come from their family. It could come from past experiences, but that's just something that you're not going to change. Number five. I love number five. You have a tenth of a second to make a first impression. 93% of your impact is how you're showing up, and you're contagious. It means something that you need to pay attention to. The energy and presence you bring into the room will be felt and likely taken on by others as you may be taking on theirs. Just like you said, that negative aspect to somebody, you can set the tone or you can be clobbered by it. Talk about that, because I love that. I think first impressions are really important.
Oh, I do too. And what I always try to do, and it's just become a part of who I am because I'm authentically excited about where I am and getting to serve people. And I love it. And I love collaboration. So it's not that Michael, since he's coming to the food bank, has to win the day or has to be all things to all people. I love though saying, here's what we bring to the table. And if I love partnering with other people, so they understand, hey, I'm not just doing this. I'm excited to do this, and it creates excitement in them and optimism. Now, I don't want to say, oh, we can just do anything, you know, this blind optimism, but I go into these situations. I mean, that's who I've really genuinely become, and I think that's good when I'm partnering with other people, because they tend to feed off that energy. And it's like, hey, let's go into this recognizing there's a problem. Nobody's addressing this problem. But together or collaboratively, we can. And we've been able to tackle some things. One of the most discouraging things I've seen is so much in the nonprofit world is they can't think outside of their own organization. They can't think past this year's budget. They can't, you know, envision into the future or talk about what's possible. Like you said, they are the type of people that see a problem for every solution. And it's just, it just drains the energy out of the people under them and the people they're trying to collaborate with.
Top 10 resolutions for leaders in 2023, as heard by Michael Coleman, of course, the CEO of the Montgomery Food Bank. Go to FAFB.org. You can make donations throughout this holiday season or anytime in 2023. They greatly appreciate it. They cover 35 counties. So there's always a need there. These are resolutions for leaders in 2023. Number six, cut the baloney, tell the truth. This is pretty straightforward, right?
Yep. And I have found that it's better as a leader to go ahead and not only talk about your own failings, but to allow other people to highlight those back to you, to speak those back to you. So in a way that they don't fear retribution, because if you tell them, and I say, look, my goal is consistency. And number one, if I'm doing something that I've expressly forbidden everybody else from doing, I want you to call me on that. Number one, because I may not be aware of it. Number two, I want what's the best thing for other people. And we're all going to work towards that. And so I said, you're going to fail and I'm going to fail. And we're just going to be honest about where the failings are. But nobody's going to get punished for trying something and failing. And so, again, it's just going back to setting up the culture to where I expect you to take control of your area. I expect you to make timely decisions. But you're going to be accountable for it, but I'm going to be accountable for it as well. So I try not to elevate myself up on a perch that just sits around and looks at where other people are failing. I own it. And I will tell you, and I tease people, we joke and cut on each other, but I allow them to do it right back to me.
Yeah.
Because I know that I'm in the moment, I think I'm making the right decision and I totally botch it up. And, you know, they'll tease me about it. And I just smile and grin and laugh because, you know, I'm no different than they are. But what it does is it helps them understand the expectation. We're pursuing excellence, but boy, we're going to screw a lot of things up on that pathway. And it's okay. I'm not going to elevate myself over them. I'm telling them I'm going to make mistakes. You're going to know I make mistakes. I've got to own it. But if we just do that and be honest, tell the truth, and we can really move forward together in a powerful way.
And I don't know if this comes with age or experience, but passivity, I just have no room for passivity anymore. I don't. And it's not that I demand answers right now, particularly if we're talking a business decision, something that you need to put pen on paper and make sure that the numbers match up. But at this point, when someone keeps putting me off over and over and over again, I always sit there, well, they haven't said no, so I'm going to keep trying, but you're wasting my time if you're just trying to let me down easy. Just tell me the truth.
Yeah, I'll tell you, we are so afraid as leaders of somehow showing a chink in our armor. And I just try from the very beginning, when my leaders are in here, if I'm like, I think I've got a pretty good vision of where I want to go with this. And then there's sometimes I'm like, guys, this is all new to me. I don't have any idea. Like, let's start here and then let's see where this takes us. But again, being vulnerable, which telling the truth means you have to say, I don't know what the right thing is. I don't have it all figured out. I'm going to need some help. And just be vulnerable really elevates you as being authentic. And that authenticity carries a lot more weight than you elevating yourself up with all your insecurities. You're like, I don't want anybody to see my weaknesses. I don't want anybody to see where I fail. And so I'm just going to pretend like I don't fail and I don't have weaknesses. That's a terrible way to lead.
Yeah, Brené Brown said it best. You have to be vulnerable to be courageous, and it takes courage to be vulnerable.
And
that is that
and she's
is,
great too.
She really is. Number seven, one you want to get into, getting comfortable with discomfort. If you really want to lead and create impact, you've kind of talked about this. You're going to have to get comfortable with your discomfort. Explain.
Yeah. So I'm the author may have meant one thing, but how this kind of struck me was, I've seen leaders who are micromanagers because they want to have control of everything. So imagine, let's say you have seven departments in your organization and you're like, okay, well, everything's got to go through me, every decision. So you have department A, B, C, and department A has all this stuff moving. But has to stop when it's time for your decision. Same for B, C. And so let's say, okay, I get to A, then A starts moving again. Now I can answer B's question. B starts moving again. And what I've told people is I'm empowering them to make decisions. And the truth of the matter is I've got my departments all working individually making decisions. And I don't know from 1 minute to the next exactly everything that's going on in this organization because I'm entrusting them as leaders to move. And that makes people incredibly uncomfortable if they can't put their thumb on every single thing. And I'm like, well, if you trust your leaders, you give them a boundary and empower them to make decisions. What happens is all those departments don't need to stop every time a decision comes in. You're going forward, but guess what? You're not the one making that decision, and it causes discomfort. So the question is, do you want control or of everything, or do you want genuine growth? Do you want development of your leaders? Do you want to empower your organization to move quickly towards the vision that you have? You can't do it unless you're willing to be uncomfortable.
There you go. Number eight, we're getting to the top 10 New Year's resolutions for leaders in 2023. He, of course, is Michael Coleman from the Montgomery Area Food Bank. They do wonderful work down there, formerly the Jimmy Hill Mission. This is Tony Curry Radio. And, of course, you can hear the show at least five times every single week, also wherever you get your podcast. Number eight, take 100% accountability for your experience, your leadership, and your results. And I've worked for bosses who have done that. They point fingers first and then they go, but it's, it always goes to the top, brother. So, I mean, if your employees are screwing up, it goes back on the boss when the corporate people come in town, but explain that one a little bit.
Yeah. So this is an old thing that, that I think a lot of people will understand that when we talk about successes, when I'm in front of my board, I may have one or two employees with me, but you know, I'm telling them all the things, all the great things that I think we're doing. And I talk about we, and I talk about my team. Let me tell you what my team did. Let me tell and it's not that it's, I'm not, the emphasis is not on the my, but the emphasis is on when good things happen, it's because the people in our organization are making it happen.
Yeah.
And I want to shine a light on them, and I'll talk about, well, yeah, my development director came up with this idea and he did that and it's worked out great. But if it's a mistake that comes along, then I try to take ownership of that and say, well, I thought it was best to do this, but I was wrong. And here's what I learned from it. And so the idea is between me and the board, I want to shield them. And so I need to be willing to take the hits for the, even though I may not have made the decision directly, my director may have, or somebody on the line may have done that. I need to take the hit to them and shield them, but then I need to open up the door with praise when something good happens. And to me, that's what good leaders do. They stand up and they're accountable, and it's so easy to say, well, you know, I empower them to make their decisions, and they're making bonehead decisions. And, you know, and it's just, it chips away at the loyalty, it chips away at the integrity, it chips away. And it's just a bad look to your leaders. Your leaders recognize when you're saying, hey, my team's doing great, but I mess up sometimes.
Pretty much, you know, go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to move on. It's a great point. Number nine, pretty self-explanatory here, and these are the top 10 New Year's resolutions for good leaders in 2023. Prioritize and focus on the right things. I think we kind of know what that is. And then number 10 is hold a solid container for yourself and others. This means seeing the best in yourself and your people, getting curious about what's possible for you and your growth, seeing and believing. Talk about that just a little bit. And then if you would, since we have about 5 or 6 minutes left, I'd love for you to share one of your New Year's resolutions for Michael Coleman in 2023, because I've got one I want to share with you, but give me number 10 first.
Yeah. So it talks about challenging people to step up and give them, you know, productive feedback and commitment to being in service of their growth. I mean, all of that is, to me, is making sure it's helpful within an organization to make sure people understand what their roles are and that they understand what the relationships are, who their peers are, what's happening to their left, what's happening to their right, and how to successfully move up in the organization, and to let them know how to continue to be an ever-present or an ever-growing part of our organization. And I think people, lots of times I've seen confusion. Sometimes, especially, I tend to move very fast and within organizations. And these are the kind of things that sometimes when you're moving people around and you're trying to find the right place, you're trying to find that square peg for the square hole for the square pegs and the round holes for the round pegs, you can create confusion with some people, and they really not understand, oh, well, you moved me over here and you told me what I have to do, but I really don't understand how that fits into the bigger picture. And again, that's about connecting with your workforce, helping them understand, being there for them to answer those kind of questions and creating an environment that is safe to ask those kind of questions.
Yeah. I'd like to add one to this, as a business owner, and I'm learning on the fly, and I've certainly made a lot of mistakes and thrown a lot of spaghetti up against the walls, but I love leaders who are willing to get dirty. They're willing to be part of their workforce. I think nothing's more powerful than when a foreman actually works the line one day. When I see a quarterback blocking downfield on a play, when you're getting outside your role and doing someone else's role, particularly from a leadership standpoint, and you're willing to get dirty, you know, I, again, from experience, you know, I pay people to work for me, not so much because I have widgets to make, but I have product to place, and I have shows to make. And a lot of times it has a lot to do with computerization, graphics, things I don't know how to do. And what ends up happening is when I'm just paying those people off, do your job, and then I go off and do my own thing, then they end up doing it really well. They know I don't know how to do it, and they start getting this, I don't even know what the syndrome would be called, but they're like, this place wouldn't last without me. And there becomes some resentment there for me, despite the fact that I'm paying them well to do their job. So I show an interest in what they're doing. Hey, how did you make this graphic? Or how do you work this Zoom thing? Or, you know, whatever. And the more you get to learn about what your employees are actually being asked to do on a daily basis, not only does it make them disposable because you actually know how to do their jobs for them, but it shows an interest in that. And I think it's really important.
Yeah, and I will tell you, I am one who, if you talk about things I need to do better in 2013, well, all the things I read to you, I don't feel like I've fully arrived. I could continue to do those. But one thing in particular that kind of touches on some of these is I've noticed that when I go out in our warehouse, and we have 4 big warehouses that I walk through. And so when I walk through the warehouses, number one, it's good that they see me in the warehouse, mm-hmm. that my employees see me.
Yeah.
And then I can ask them questions as I walk through. But there'll be times where I have to be very intentional. And so I'll give you a good example. I've walked through before and I've seen 3 guys over there sweeping and just keeping their areas in their warehouse just really immaculate. It's towards the end of the day, but they're cleaning up, and I might not even notice that the floor was dirty walking through the warehouse, but they were doing that. And so I was like, in my head, as soon as that hit, I'm like, oh, look, this is a really clean area. I had to stop myself and intentionally say, hey, guys, thank you for what you're doing. I really appreciate how clean you keep this area of the warehouse. Wow. And recognizing them, catching them doing something positive and recognizing them, even if it's only a verbal, is very important towards towards them. And lots of times you need to then take the parlay that into relationship building. So if I see three guys there and you stop and you get their attention, then it could be, tell me how long y'all been here. And tell me what you see this working. Tell me if you could change one. If you were king for a day, what would you change? And you will get some amazing feedback and some amazing insights into, and it's all because I'm being present. I'm walking through, I'm seeing them. And then there's sometimes where I'm like, I see problems and I know, and, but again, it's not somebody's telling me there's a problem. I'm seeing it and I'm talking with employees and they expect me out in the warehouse. And, but I can tend to be handling so many things in my office. It's just easier to keep doing that. But I have to be intentional about going out and walking through the warehouse when the guys are, to be a part of what they're doing, ask questions, lead with a lot of praise, be very slow to criticize. But it does help me. It does so many things. It helps me hold leaders accountable. It helps me check to make sure that what I'm putting out is actually being carried down through the different levels. There's just so many advantages to it, but it's just something where it's time consuming.
Michael, fantastic.
We're all fighting for that. Yeah. So I've got to do better at it. And then the other thing I would say is, just in the last few minutes, I have such big, I love to live in the vision space and talk about what could be, where could we go? And I could do that all day long. I love it. And to talk about the impact that we can make. But what I have to understand is, and sometimes slow myself down to make sure that we're not leaving anything behind. I always think about in Desert Storm, excuse me, not Desert Storm. I was in Desert Storm, but in the Iraqi war, they called it, I'm drawing a blank, Tony. What do they call it? Shock and awe.
Yeah, shock and awe. Yep.
Yeah. And so what they did was they wanted to capture Baghdad. So they were blowing through all these little resistance towns, but they weren't stopping to take those prisoners hostage. They just kept blowing on through and to get to Baghdad, and it was shock and awe. And everybody was praising that strategy until they saw the effects of it after a while, which was, well, maybe it would have been better to capture that territory so that they couldn't come up behind you. And there's just all sorts of additional problems that came out from that strategy. Now, again, not to say that it was right or wrong, but it was all praise at first. So I could go out and lead the food bank and accomplish some great things. But if I piecemeal it and I don't make sure that each step I take, that I'm creating, building on a good solid foundation, then I could get way out here, but then it not be sustainable because I didn't build it right.
Yep.
And that's what I have to continue to remind myself as I move through these different phases. We have to make sure we go phase to phase, but we're ready to move to the next phase and not be in such a hurry to try to get to the end state.
Michael, great show. Happy New Year to you, brother. We'll do it again next week. Greatly appreciate your Mission Minded, of course, is heard wherever you get your podcast. We're on every major industry out there. And, of course, you can hear it live right here on TKR and Tony Curry Radio 5 days a week. Michael, God bless, man. Happy New Year to you, brother. Thank you.
All right. God bless you and our audience as well. Thank you all.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.